Now the airway can completely close and you will stop breathing, and that is called an apnea. Or the airway may narrow, so airflow is restricted and the amount of air that you move in and out is reduced, and that's called an hypopnea. They disrupt sleep, fragment sleep, and cause a major disruption of sleep where sleep no longer is refreshing.
What causes this?
It's an anatomical variant. Everybody's airway narrows when they go to sleep. However, if you start off with a small airway and then you narrow further, the airway gets so small that you have a hard time breathing, or it closes and you're not breathing at all. The body doesn't like that. So the patient awakens from sleep, and he may do this 5 times an hour, 10 times an hour, 30 times an hour, 100 times an hour.
Sounds very dangerous.
It can be. Because of the various different physiologic things that happen during sleep with sleep apnea, it's associated with an increased incidence of hypertension. It's associated with cardiac disease, including coronary artery disease that leads to angina and heart attack, heart failure, cardiac arrhythmias, of which atrial fibrillation is very common, and a higher incidence of stroke. Because people are sleepy and tired, they have an increased incidence of automobile accidents. Also, if you have a dangerous job, you're climbing foam poles or working with heavy equipment, you can fall asleep working with that, and the accident rate is increased in the workplace.
Isn't what a symptom of this maybe snoring?
The vast majority of patients with sleep apnea snore, and they snore loudly. It's not necessary that you snore. I have several patients that don't snore and have severe sleep apnea. The next thing that you notice is sleepiness. Patients have unrefreshing sleep.
But do you undergo a sleep study or something to determine this?
You spend a night in the lab, or maybe 2 nights. They monitor your brain waves, your breathing, your heart rate, your oxygen, and they also look at your legs, because we look at periodic leg movements that can also interrupt sleep. So after you've had a night in the lab, make a diagnosis, and then you may come back for a study to see if positive pressure, the CPAP mask that a lot of patients have, will improve that, and what pressures you need for control.
First of all, what does CPAP stand for?
CPAP stands for Continuous Positive Airway Pressure. And what that does is there's an interface that either fits on your nose or over your mouth and nose that puts a pressure into your upper airway. And that works as a pneumatic splint to keep the airway open so it won't collapse while you're breathing. There are other treatments. If you have mild to moderate sleep apnea and you're not morbidly obese, often an oral airway that splints and pulls the jaw forward can open the back part of the throat and work. There are surgical procedures that help, but they're actually major surgeries of moving things around, and they're big surgeries.
Does insurance cover the various kinds of treatment or even the sleep studies to determine a diagnosis?
It's rare now to find insurance that doesn't cover it.
How widespread a problem is this? How many people suffer from sleep apnea?
We know that sleep apnea is more common in men. We know that it's more common the heavier you are. It's more common the older you are.
Why more common in men than women?
We don't know. Part of it probably is hormonal. After women go through menopause, they tend to catch up. Their incidence of sleep apnea rises. It never catches up to men, but the difference is between men and women are less.
Is this something you could possibly live with for years before you ever know that you have it?
It's estimated that 75% of patients with sleep apnea never go diagnosed. You have to be aware. You certainly want to get sleep apnea diagnosed prior to having comorbidities, hypertension, heart disease, stroke. Because a lot of these things are irreversible. If you have a heart attack, whatever heart muscle you lost isn't coming back. If you had a stroke and you're paralyzed, that's not going to come back once you treat it. So it's important to make that diagnosis, not only because you'll feel better. From a health maintenance standpoint, you'll live longer.